As we've gotten to know Dr. Caroline Leaf and her husband, Mac, we've just been very blessed by who they are as individuals and the beauty that just exudes from their heart. They are lovely, lovely people who very much love Jesus, and they very much love the body of Christ and you, and they care so deeply about the message that they bring to help you grow and to continue to be all that God's called you to be. And so we are so blessed to have them with us. And so I would like to read you Dr. Caroline Leaf's bio, because I want you to understand the quality and of individual that the Lord has brought us, so you can understand the scope of the influence and the stage that the Lord has given her and put her on, so that you can appreciate that with us. So since 1985, Dr. Caroline Leaf, who is a communication pathologist and audiologist, has worked in the area of cognitive neuroscience. She's specialized in traumatic brain injury and learning disabilities, focusing on the science of thought as it pertains to thinking and learning. She developed a theory and did some of the initial research back in the 1990s showing how the mind can change the brain. She applied the findings of her research in clinical practice for nearly 25 years and now lectures and preaches globally. She's a prolific author and has been a featured guest of Joyce Meyer, James Robison, Marilyn Hickey, Sid Roth, TBN, and there's many more than that are even listed. She has her own show on TBN as well called Switch On Your Brain. Her passion is to help people see the link between science and scripture as a tangible way of controlling their thoughts and emotions, learning how to think and learn, and finding their sense of purpose in life. Caroline and her husband, Mac, live in Dallas, Texas with their four children. Would you please help me welcome Dr. Caroline Leaf and her husband, Mac?
Well, Caroline was born in Harare, Zimbabwe, and I was born in Nairobi, Kenya. They're in Africa. We live now in Texas and America, so you can call us African Americans. I was thinking of you, Pastor, as you were talking about the offering. It reminded me about two people that were in an airplane accident, and they're both on the desert island. Their plane crashed, and they're on this little island. And the one is almost uncontrollable with worry and anxiety and who's going to find us and, you know, how are we going to live and how are we going to eat and all of this. And the other guy was just sitting relaxed behind this, his back on the tree. He said, relax, relax. He says, how can you be so relaxed? I mean, we're in the middle of nowhere. What's going on? He says, look, I earn $1 million a year. I tithe 10%. My pastor will find me.
That search party's gone out very fast. Okay. So it's good to laugh because it actually increases your intelligence. And that is not a joke. That is serious. The more you laugh, the more intelligent you'll become. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And when you worship, your joy will increase. And so your strength will increase. So this service, we're going to learn about what worship and thanksgiving does in the brain. And thanksgiving, praise, and worship, and tongues, and all these amazing things. And I can talk about this topic as I can about any of the topics that I can talk about for hours. There's so much. And I sit there thinking, now, what do I leave out? Because there's so much I want to share. So I always do a thanksgiving, praise, and worship when I'm preparing and while I'm up here talking, so that God can share through me exactly what it is that He wants you to hear about this message. Because it's impossible in the time frame to share all this incredible stuff about God. You see, as a scientist, I get to see another side of God. I get to see His hidden nature in science. I get to see His magnificence, and I get to admire Him more and more. And science should be in the church because it's a way of admiring God. So I love the fact that I'm still a scientist. I still do research, but I love the fact that I'm able to now globally share this message of brain science in the Bible, and it opens many doors for me because I can go into secular environments as well and teach on science, because people love science. People love hearing about themselves, and people love to know how they function and how they work. And when they hear the Word of God as this extra dimension, it answers a lot of questions as well. So science is a great fishing rod. So, you know, use the materials that I've developed to help you to reach out to other people, because it's amazing how easily it is to talk to people and how much they'll listen when you talk about science. Okay, so today let's talk about a little bit of quantum physics, the quantum physics behind forgiveness. We're going to start with forgiveness first, because when we talk about leading a lifestyle of worship, you've got to be forgiving. God says that He will forgive us based on how we forgive others. So we have to make sure that we are forgiving. And one of the primary laws of quantum physics is one of entanglement. So it's one of the primary laws of quantum physics. And entanglement means relationship. And God designed us for relationship. And when we worship God and we pray in tongues, we are building that relationship. So relationship is primary in the reason why He made us. And He could have made us all robots, but He made us intelligent thinking beings, able to choose to worship Him. So leading a lifestyle of worship is that continuous dialogue that I've been talking about all weekend. And it does the most marvelous things inside of our brains and our body. It keeps us in mental health. It keeps us fit. It keeps us healthy, spirit, soul, and body. It keeps us aligned and aligned in and with God, because everything begins and ends in Him. So, based on entanglement, entanglement is a principle or a law in quantum physics that comes from God, and it's about relationship. Everything is from God. So no scientist makes up anything. No scientist discovers anything on his own. It's all inspired by God. So when someone says they discovered X, Y, and Z, well, they didn't actually. They were inspired by God to discover X, Y, and Z. So we need to give credit where credit is due. Very important to do that. So the law of entanglement is beautiful because it talks about how we are all connected with each other. So when I explain that, I'm going to just quickly read Colossians 1:15. And I'm reading, it's coming up on the screen. There we go. Okay, so for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible. And visible is physical, invisible, non-physical. Hang on to those words. Rank after rank after rank of angels. Everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. He was there before any of it came into existence, and He holds it all together right up to this moment. So we're in physical bodies with a physical brain, controlling our physical bodies in a physical world, but we have a soul and we have a spirit. We're triune beings. I've been teaching a lot about this weekend. Everything is connected, but we come from God. We are one in God. He is our source. I know you know that. But this entanglement is very interesting in a quantum physics sense. The smallest particles that we talk about in quantum physics are things like protons and quarks and bosons and all these little weird little thingies, and they're tiny. And what they found is that when you put them into relationship with each other, when you put two particles in a relationship with each other, and they can do this in the laboratory, what they find is that they form a relationship, they connect. And then when you separate them, like in the Hadron Collider in CERN, basically when you shoot them apart, it doesn't matter where they are. If one spins, and the spin is not a full-on spin, it's like a movement. If one spins that way, it affects wherever the other particle is, wherever it is, however far away it is, it will also spin. So they are connected across a distance. It doesn't matter how far. So whatever the one particle does, the other particle knows about what that particle is doing and is affected by that particle. So we see this principle playing out in life. Now, they test that on subatomic particles, but we know that we are from God, all of us, whether we believers or not. We are all connected to God, so we all impact each other. So when you spin, your spin's affecting my spin. That is literally, we impact each other. We are entangled in each other's lives, whether we like it or not. And this is why we pray for each other. This is why we pray for the countries and the cities like Paris and the things that are going on, why we are connected to each other and why we need to forgive. Because when you experience, let's say, for example, someone traumatizes you. Now, sin is voluntary. No one forces you to sin. Trauma is involuntary. On this side of the stage is the fear zone, where you see the little wiry tree. On this side of the stage is the love zone, where you see the green trees. Those represent healthy thoughts. Those represent toxic thoughts, for those of you that are in here seeing me teach for the first time. So this is the love zone. This is the normal zone. This is where we reside. This is our design. We're made in God's image. He made us perfect. We choose to go down our own pathway with our mind. This is the fear zone, the opposite spiritual force. We don't want to live there. This is mental ill health. This is sickness. This is disease. This is all the bad stuff. Okay, this is all the normal. That's the abnormal. Never say, oh, I'm not perfect, you know. If you ever do that, give yourself slap therapy. Go back from there into there, because you are perfect, but you chose to step out of your perfectly you into your imperfectly you. Get yourself back quickly through worship. Okay, so your lifestyle of worship keeps you in that zone. Now, coming back to entanglement and forgiveness and linking it to worship, because we are entangled in each other's lives, the matter that we are made out of, when God formed us from the dust of the earth, that's matter. God created matter. Subatomic particles can basically get even smaller and they become waves. So matter becomes waves. So our physical nature becomes these wave forms and we can operate like a wave and a particle. I know we don't look wavy. I may sound a bit wavy at the moment. moment, but we don't. But that's if we look on a subatomic level, pretty much we operate like waves. Now, if you watch waves on a beach, they will build and they will sometimes cancel each other out. Sometimes they will go on top of each other so they get bigger. You know what I'm talking about. So sometimes they, you know, you see this wave building and then suddenly it just disappears. It cancels itself out. And others, it just builds and suddenly it's so big. You didn't expect it to be so big. So sometimes they cancel each other out. Sometimes they build. Same principle with us as we are thinking. We generate these waves of energy. God, all energy is from the throne of grace. God is the source of everything. He is the Father of light. He is the Father of everything. All right, so now if someone hurts us and we are traumatized, trauma is involuntary. Sin is voluntary. Trauma is involuntary. Sin and trauma are in this zone. Trauma is like if someone abuses you or speaks badly over you or bullies you or hurts you. No one asks to be traumatized. So trauma involves a victim, but it's still something that happens to you. You still process it. Everything we process with our mind will become a physical reality in our brain because our brain reflects what's happening in our mind realm. So it builds into these protein structures that look like trees. Unfortunately, trauma is in this zone of the toxic tree that you see over there, and it's generating the incorrect wave energy. This whole energy on this side of the stage is all wrong. It's all abnormal. It all sets up for vulnerability to disease because what they've seen in research is that right down to the level of inside our brain where these little trees form, which form on neurons, these little branches that you see at the top of the trees are called dendrites, and deep down inside of them there are structures that we were learning about over the weekend called microtubules, and inside those, and there's like 10 million of these, 100 billion neurons, these structures are minute, but inside these little tubes, inside these networks in the brain, inside the neurons in the brain, there are these little things called these like train tracks, and like a train track has a signal. You know, you've seen how train tracks have got signals so they guide the trains. We have little signals inside the networks of our brain where our memories are stored. So as our memories are building, the way in which we perceive things is guided uniquely by the unique way that our protein signals vibrate. So each and every one of us, right down to the most basic neuronal, inside the physical neuronal structure of the brain, we have our own individual ways that our signals work to create the uniqueness of who we are. When we're in this zone worshiping, those signals work correctly and we build the memories correctly. We are in alignment with God. We are in the correct, literally in the correct oscillation. So all these little things in the brain are vibrating and oscillating and all in our own unique way, all in rhythm, all in synchrony, in harmony, uniquely for each of us. When we're in this zone, all of that goes out of synchrony, out of harmony. The signals don't work and the trains all crash and things go wrong and we get neurodegeneration. Fortunately, we have neuroplasticity. Neuro means brain. Plastic means to change. So we can change all of that. Okay, so when someone hurts us, when we experience trauma, then that will become one of these traumatic-looking toxic trees in our brain with all these incorrect signals happening and things breaking down at the right down at the molecular level. Our genes, which are quantum information systems, are not expressing properly. Things are just generally going wrong, and we feel that as mental ill health and physical disease in our body because it's not normal. Okay? So the more you hold on to the root of bitterness and unforgiveness, the more you increase your toxicity in your brain and your body, the more vulnerable you are to disease. So this is why God says forgive, because when you forgive, you are actually destroying that thing and getting it out of your head and disconnecting. Because quantum physics doesn't follow the normal laws of time and space, and it's not bound by the today, tomorrow, next year. It's not bound. The quantum laws are different to classical physics. Quantum physics isn't bound by space and time, and God created space and time. God's not bound by space and time. So we get a glimpse into the spiritual world, which is not bound by space and time, as we study this very non-physical quantum world. Now, because it's not bound by space and time, that means that that person who hurt you could live thousands of miles away from you, or those persons. But if you haven't forgiven them, you've still kept the toxic issue. Every time you think of it, you're growing it bigger, because whatever you think about the most will grow. As soon as you think, you make more proteins and you grow more branches, so you increase your toxicity. Also, you're still staying connected because you're entangled. You're in relationship. They spin that way, you spin that way. What that means in real life is that if they're thinking a horrible thought about you, or you happen to come up in their thought life, it's as though they're right in front of you doing whatever it is that they did to you all over again. You're still connected. So when you forgive, you are basically breaking the entanglement. You are disentangling. You are getting rid of this thing. You are getting it out of your head. You are casting that care upon God. You are destroying this enemy, the stronghold of the enemy, this toxic issue in your mind that is consuming you. You're getting it out of your head. So not only are you getting out of mental ill health and the damage that's causing, but you are disconnecting with the power that those people have over you. Do you understand that? So if you don't understand forgiveness now, then I don't know what else to say. Okay, because seriously, every time you keep a root of bitterness and unforgiveness, you are busy destroying yourself. And that's why God says, cast all your care upon Him. You see, we are entangled with Him, and that is why we are drawn to Him. We are designed to be addicted to God. We are naturally seeking after His holiness. Addiction is a good thing. If you're not addicted to God, I told the girls Friday night, then you're addicted to something in the world, because naturally we are drawn from the depths of us to this God who created us. This is this entanglement, this primary law of relationship. God created us for relationship with Him. And we build that relationship through a lifestyle of worship. And we get so much incredible, beautiful benefits from that. So in our nun, let's look at this picture of this fountain. And you'll see this fountain that's flowing now. It's going to come up. It's a circular kind of fountain. And you'll see these waves that are building and then kind of crashing and building and crashing. Okay, it's going to start moving in a moment. Now, as you are thinking, you have a mind, and your mind is your soul, and it's broken up into the non-conscious mind and the conscious mind. Your non-conscious mind, we've been learning all weekend, is the spiritual part of you. It's the non-physical. It uses non-physical quantum laws. It's connected into your spirit man. So it's kind of we have the spiritual part of our soul, which it connects into the spiritual, and we have this physical part of our soul, of our mind, which connects into the physical part of us. In other words, our mind is separate from our brain, and our mind changes our brain. So our mind's in the middle, connected to the spirit, connected to the physical. And on the non-physical level, as we are thinking, all these cells, all these little tiny microtubules, all these little signals, all these quantum information systems in our genes, all this quantum brain that we have, and this quantum energy, the way that our body functions on quantum principles, we have in the physical, we have immersed in the physical, we have spiritual elements immersed in the physical. So we're starting to see spiritual elements in the physical through the study of quantum physics. And just to give you a little taste of this, in your non-conscious mind, which is operating 24 hours a day, which moves incredibly fast at speeds of 10 to the 27, which is faster than 400 billion actions per second. When that's translated up on a level just before you're aware of something, you have these waves that build and crash and build and crash and build and crash 40 times a second. And then as they build and crash enough times, they push through and you become consciously aware. And what is this building and crashing? It's information stored in your memories. So as you are thinking, whatever is coming in tends to activate this 40 times a second wave, building and crashing, which penetrates through into our conscious mind, and we become aware of our thoughts inside of our mind. Now, in the earlier session, I spoke about the sower and the seed and planting thoughts in our brain. So whatever we plant in our brain, whatever we're focusing on, whatever we've been building in our brain since conception, you're always building thoughts, and you'll be building for the rest of your life. They operate in this wave-like way, very fast, and then as they are preparing to consciously impact your conscious mind so that you become aware of these things from your, you know, memories popping up, basically they are moving through this wave-like form. When they're in this zone, they are moving in the correct way. They are building in the correct way. When they are in this, they're building incorrectly. So they are, it's like a crazy wave gone crazy. Imagine that wave spiraling out of control and causing all kinds of chaos and damage. So the point I'm making is that there is this whole balance and synchrony and harmony that we see playing out in the physical. So the spiritual is playing out in the physical. When we're leading lifestyles of worship, we are activating the correct physical reactions in our brain and our body, and we're enhancing and growing and getting better and better. Those waves that are moving correctly at 40 times a second and moving into the conscious mind, that's going to bring health into our thinking, versus the bad ones that are going crazy 40 times a second and they come bashing into our conscious mind, and that kind of knock us, like seriously, sort of knock us in the face. You know, you've been dumped by a wave. Have you ever been dumped by a wave? That's what these waves do. They dump you. They dump you into pain and trauma and toxicity. And they, unless you do something about them, it becomes a problem. So let's look at the next slide, which is the actual neurons in the brain. And I want to show you how this doesn't have to dominate you, that you're not a victim of your biology, that through a lifestyle of worship, we can eliminate and get rid of these toxic issues. So this is a slide. The little white things are clusters of dendrites. And you'll see it moving. And as you see, there's right. We're going to play it a couple of times. There's red writing towards the bottom, and there was like a little bubble that was moving, and then it grew and it popped. Some of you may have seen it. We're going to replay it. So look at the red writing. Look diagonally up from the red writing and watch the little white bubble. Can you see it moving? This is mind in action. This is thinking. This is when you're thinking. You're generating quantum energy. You're growing networks. Did you see it pop? Okay, we're going to play it one more time as I'm explaining. Watch it pop. So this is what you do when you lead a lifestyle of worship and the Holy Spirit leads you unto all truth and makes you aware of a toxic trauma or a toxic sin in your life. And as you consciously make a decision to confess and repent, you are literally popping those branches off one at a time. And over a period of 21 days, you will eventually, this thing will be completely gone. It will be replaced with a beautiful, new, healthy way of thinking, guided by God, and that you will remember that, so that is now turned into a testimony. So the trauma has now become the testimony. The way you were has turned into something positive. I used to be like that, but this is how I am. And that's what reflects the glory of God. That's the entanglement that you want to reflect to the world, because that is what the world is craving. So as we lead a lifestyle of worship, we are eliminating those and we are building those, and then people are seeing that reflected out of you, who you are. Can you see how important it is to apply Romans 12:2? Renewing of the mind and bringing all thoughts into captivity to Christ Jesus. We can't afford to be lazy in our thinking, and we're in a world that encourages us to be very lazy and blame everything and not take responsibility. So we spoke a lot about that this weekend, and I teach a lot of that in my books and my online programs. Okay, so now based on that, we need to worship like a radio. And I explained this to the girls over the weekend. Very quickly, we need to be like a radio. A radio is an electronic device that converts an electromagnetic wave, which we call non-physical. Now, non-physical waves basically are spiritual things. So this is anything that it's in the quantum world, it's a spiritual thing. So electromagnetic wave is considered a non-physical wave. A sound wave, on the other hand, which is what you're hearing, my voice is a sound wave, is basically shaking up the air particles and moving forward. So it shakes up the air particles and moves forward and goes into your ear, and through a process in your brain, you can hear my words. So a physical wave requires some physical stuff to move through. A non-physical wave doesn't require physical particles to move through. That's why light can pass through the atmosphere, because it's a non-physical wave. So God generated all forms of energy, all forms of force, all forms of everything. So when we lead a lifestyle of worship, we are connecting to Him. We are like this radio that is connecting to Him, because a radio takes an electromagnetic wave, converts it through this electronic process, and produces a sound wave. So it requires the electronic conversion process. So we are like that. So when we connect to God in a lifestyle of worship, we are making all of our waves and our signals and our tau protein and the microtubules and all the physical parts of us work properly, so that we can speak and do a word in season. Okay? When we be still and know that I am God, when He calls us to be still and know that I am God, we are tuning in to God like a radio has to tune in. Get that? So we need to be like a radio. You see, when we lead a lifestyle of worship, what's happening is we are also like a swing. We operate like a swing. Now, when you've pushed your kids on a swing, you get them going and you kind of give them a little push, and then it builds momentum, and they give another little push and it builds more momentum and another. There's relatively little effort. This is the first swing you've got to push quite hard, and then it's just a kind of a tap, and then you have to be quite gentle with your taps, otherwise your child might just swing right over the whole thing. So what's happening is to get going is a little harder, but once you get going, you get in a rhythm. And you get in a rhythm of the Spirit. So sometimes it's quite hard to just step in. And the reason, but once you get going, once you get in the rhythm of the Spirit, it's just that connection, and the Holy Spirit gives you a little tap. And then you move into life with this momentum. So there's a little bit of effort from God, which is so powerful that it pushes us in this momentum, and we start doing a God swing, which is getting in the rhythm of the Spirit. And that literally happens with the swing. What's happening, the reason why a swing works is because the waves are building one on top of each other, and the waves are carrying that swing. So it's the energy of the waves that's actually making the swing work. So as we link into the Spirit of God, the waves of God are moving through us, the energy of God, and that's on the physical and the spiritual and all these things, and there's a lot more that we just don't even understand. But we're trying to understand a little bit about it, and I'm trying to help you see that this is real. This is not something weird. When you are praying, when you are forgiving, you are impacting yourself, spirit, soul, and body, those that you are in relationship with, and the rest of the world, Judea, Samaria, and all the world. You matter. What you do matters. Okay, so we need to get into a rhythm with the Spirit. We need to be able to do this whole rhythm thing. Now, what a lot of us do is we step into this zone, we grab the swing, and we run up and down like crazy people, and we try and make the swing work. Have you ever tried pushing a swing like this? First of all, you're going to fall over. Secondly, you'll be exhausted. Thirdly, you'll have a screaming child, and it just does not work. It's a very stupid thing to do. We wouldn't really do that, but I'm sure you've tried it. I'm sure your kids have tried it. It's something that we experiment with, and a lot of us are doing that in life. We're doing what we think is a good thing. We haven't even asked God if it's what we're supposed to be doing. We're just knowing, well, I should do this. I should do that. I could do this. I could do that. I better do this. That's the right thing. That's what people expect of me. I've got to be this perfect person, and we forget all about asking God and getting in the rhythm of the Spirit. What is God telling you to do? Not what you want to do. Even if what you want to do is a good thing, is it what God wanted you to do? Are you doing this with your life, or are you doing this with your life? Are you getting in a rhythm with the Spirit? So, next one. I've been saying constantly, we need to set up a constant internal dialogue with God. Worship, prayer, etc. All this stuff is a constant communication with God. It's constantly getting that swing going. Okay, so when we were worshiping earlier on together, what happens was that each and every one of our hearts started beating in rhythm. Now, let me just explain the significance. Right now, if I had to link you all up to ECG machines, we would see each and every one of you has your own heartbeat, your own rhythm. But if we kept the same machines on and you all started singing worship, every single one of our rhythms would have aligned. We were beating as one big, giant heart. When we worship together, we are worshiping as one in community with God. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that God shows us through science. So that is very, very powerful, because when waves build up, we get massive change happening. Remember the swing? Remember the waves on the sea? When you are singing together, when you are worshiping together, when you are praying together, you are building wave upon wave upon wave. So when Pastor was asking us to pray earlier on for Paris, and when we were all collectively praying, that was wave upon wave upon wave. And as people around the world are praying, wave upon wave upon wave of glory is hitting the city of Paris, and change is happening, because God's word is powerful and never comes back void. Do you understand that? Never think prayer doesn't count. Just because you don't feel it, stop trying to feel everything. You're bigger than that. The physical is only a tiny tip of the iceberg. Underneath the tip of the iceberg is a massive, massive iceberg. Okay, so when we thank God, He listens. So when we're going to do an exercise, as soon as I'm finished teaching, we're going to do a Thanksgiving praise and worship exercise. When you thank God, He listens. When you whine and moan and live in whiny moaning, me, myself, and I, listen to me, hear my problems, fix my problems, it's all about me, He doesn't even listen. Okay? He is a God who responds to thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you that you listen, and even though you know my heart's broken in the situation and I've just sinned again and I feel whatever it is, but Lord, I thank you that I can come to you. Then He's listening. You get God's ear when you listen. So when you start thanking God, great things happen in your brain. These are just a few things you can see up on the screen. You get an increase in neurotransmitters flowing. Now, neurotransmitters are great chemicals that are required for memory building, for just general functioning of the brain. So, like, for example, serotonin, when it flows, increases all kinds of memory building. It's very important for memory building at the synapses in the brain. It encourages the basic building of memory in the tubulin of those microtubule in the brain where those signals were that I was speaking about in the earlier session and yesterday's session. They're involved in helping us feel emotion, helping us stay calm and balanced. Dopamine helps us to be very focused and motivated and stay on point. So when we're in positive stress, you'll have a lot of dopamine, increasing your wisdom. All kinds of amazing things happen. You get something called BDNF, which is a growth factor. It's a nerve growth factor. Lots of it is released. Now, we need BDNF for neuroplasticity. It's like a fertilizer for brain growth. So when you are thinking, you basically are increasing the amount of BDNF in your brain. Now, when you're thinking badly, unfortunately, it also increases, but it's going to be increasing in the wrong way and kind of in the whole processes all messed up. So you're still going to build stuff, but it's going to be all these toxic things. So this, you know, you don't want to use it in that way. But when you are in a state of worship, BDNF increases in a positive way. So you are creating this fertile ground for the word of God to take place in your life. You see, when we do it correctly, we build health. When we do it incorrectly, we build mental ill health. When you also, when you've got BDNF flowing, it increases the brain for change. It prepares the brain for change. So we want to make sure that we are using this for good and not for bad. Okay? So when we get new thinking, as we are thinking, basically we are, as you are thinking, you have the opportunity for new healing to take place because you are building new networks that are enabling you, you're preparing to build new networks that will be able to bring new thoughts into your brain, healthy green thoughts, which is for healing, which is so very important. Also, we get basically those little traffic signals that I was speaking about earlier on, deep down, we are memory forms. They are much more prepped, much more alert, much more focused. So you have better guidance in terms of memory. So literally on a physical level, when you are thanking God, your guidance of what to think about is increased. I mean, this is amazing stuff. I mean, like on every level, the quantum waves start lining up. From a quantum level through to the physics level, through to the biological level, from a micro to the macro, on every level, we see a state of preparedness, a state of preparing for growth. Do you know that when you wake up every morning, you have millions of new neurons born? It's called neurogenesis. Genesis meaning new birth, as you know. Neuro meaning brain. When you wake up every morning, you have a whole bunch of new neurons. And as you thank God, guess what happens? They get basically incorporated into your networks to strengthen the new networks that you are building in a healthy way. Don't use them for bad. Use them for good, because by the same token, if you get all toxic that day, you're going to use that good stuff for bad. And you're going to create chaos in your brain. That reminds me of the scripture, His mercy are renewed every morning. Isn't that amazing? Just to think that you get new. And this is very new research. Back in the 80s when I started my research, your brain couldn't change, your brain didn't grow. And I never believed that, because of growing up in the Word, I knew that that was not true. So I did some of the first neuroplasticity research in the world. And I was told I was crazy by my professors because they said the brain can't grow. I said, watch me, prove it. And I did. So I showed that the brain could change. So we thank God for that. It was His inspiration. I give Him all the glory. Okay, so when we pray, so when we thank Him, we've got all this fantastic stuff happening. Our genes, which are little quantum information systems, are preparing for firing, for building of new amino acids, for expression. All this amazing stuff is happening. So now when we go deeper, which is praise, as you start praising, then even more starts happening. Because when we praise Him, He inhabits the praises of our people. So He starts giving us all these comfortable physical sensations of His presence. So when you step deeper into praise, you become aware. So your bodily systems, like your alerting systems in your body, the comfort zones and discomfort zones and all these things in your body, I write about these in my books, basically become very active. So you become very physically aware of the presence of God, which is a bonus. It just gives you that motivation. So really what also starts happening is you literally start growing new brain cells. You start growing dendrites that are responding to this relationship. Your entanglement is becoming very manifest in a physical way by you growing stuff in your brain. So you're growing good stuff in your brain. When you praise God, you are growing entanglement into God. Does that make sense? Okay. When we worship Him, He acts on our behalf. What also happens, but I didn't say there, what also happens when you worship, when you praise God, you start getting gamma activity moving through your brain, which is what happens when you are super intelligent. So when we are thinking deeply, and by the way, you're as intelligent as you want to be. Intelligence is not limited. It's not fixed. It is an ongoing developmental thing, something I've been involved in research for many, many years as well. The more you think, the more brain cells you grow, okay? The more dendrites you grow, the more intelligent you become. Now, as you go into high levels of intense worship where you're thinking deeply and communicating with the Holy Spirit, your brain fires up with all these gamma rays. So your intelligence is increasing. I mean, we're worshiping God for relationship, and He blesses us with all these wonderful physical things, because every thought that you are thinking in your brain is changing the environment of your whole body. So not only is your brain benefiting in these ways, but your brain influences your entire body. So at quantum speeds, which is instant, your entire body of cells, which is 75 to 100 trillion cells, the environment around them changes. And it's our environment that influences the action of what happens inside the cells. So if your cells are in a good, healthy, thinking environment, which is 75 to 98% of the signal, then they're going to be functioning healthy. So they're going to be functioning in this zone. All that rhythm and oscillation and synchrony and all that good stuff is going to happen. But when we're negative, we change our brain chemistry, and basically that impacts every single one of our cells, and we create a toxic environment which impacts the cellular function. I mean, this is real stuff. God says, I lay before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live in a healthy zone, in a mental health zone, in a physical health zone, in a rejoice despite the circumstances zone. Okay? So, when we worship, He acts on our behalf. When you step from thanksgiving deeper into praise, deeper into worship, as you start to worship, you activate the miracles in your life. You see, thanksgiving and praise are preparing you to receive, preparing you to access the goodness of God and all the miracles that He has already done that we just have to access. Shift your paradigm. Don't beg God for a miracle. He's done it all. He's beyond space and time. I keep saying it. Your tomorrows and your next weeks and your next years and everything you need for the rest of your life has already been done. What we have to do is align with what's been done. We have to get in the rhythm of the Spirit. We have to get in there and build those waves. And as you build your wisdom, you are building the waves. And as you build the waves, you are increasing your capacity to access the goodness of God. Okay, so God is a big God. Just for a moment, what does it mean to operate in your perfectly you when you lead this lifestyle of worship? God is big, and this God, this big God, has placed eternity in us. Okay, so we've got this huge big God. Now let's have a look. I'm just going to get to the right slide over here. Okay, so just a few things to show you how big God is. I've already told you about your brain, and if you aren't already, I mean, you've got 100 billion neurons, and that's only 20% of brain tissue, and each neuron can grow up to a million plus dendrites, and each dendrite's got 10 million of microtubules, and then the tubulins inside of that. Do I need to carry on? Okay, I mean, it's outstanding. Neuroscience is revealing more and more complexity, and we only understand maybe 2 to 8% of how the brain functions. There's still a lot more to be revealed of His magnificence. Okay, so here's some universe stuff. It's 93 million miles to the sun. This is how big God is, okay? It takes 8 minutes for light to cross this 93 million miles to Earth. That's pretty fast. 8 minutes to get light from the Earth, sun to the Earth. The next closest star is called Proxima Centauri. It takes 4.22 light years for its light to reach the Earth. I mean, this is far. This is very far. 46.5 billion light years to the end of the visible universe, okay, according to what scientists can determine. The whole universe is about 150 billion light years across and growing. My goodness. There are multiple universes. We're talking about the 150 billion applying just to the universe that we understand and we live in. There are multiple universes. Each universe has dimensions. So space is a dimension. Time is a dimension. Okay, so space, we're dealing with length, breadth, and height. Those are three dimensions, okay? Length, breadth, and height. Time is another dimension. So we understand that those are dimensions. Universes have dimensions. Each dimension is adding an infinite number of possibilities of functionality. I know this is hard to understand, but you've got four. So the space-time dimension gives us four. They estimate that there's at least 6 to 7 other non-physical dimensions that we're still trying to understand, which means there's about 11 different dimensions per universe. Whatever that means, it's huge. God has put us in this phenomenal brain and body, and our brain is way beyond the dimensions of this universe. So the universe is massive, but the research on the brain is showing that each thought is a veritable universe. So each thought has more capacity than what you see up on the screen. One thought in a mouse brain has more capacity than what you see up on the screen. One thought in a mouse brain. You're not a mouse. Okay, of men and mice. You are a man and a woman. Okay, so if one thought in a mouse brain is bigger than all this stuff, what's inside of us? Don't you think it's time for us to grow up and get an eternal perspective? Worship teaches you to look at life from this angle and stop looking at life from this angle. The minute you react correctly or incorrectly, you change everything about your situation. So whatever you're in, whatever situation you're in, when you are looking at it negatively, research from Harvard shows that you increase your mortality by 43% in the next 12 months when you look at life from this angle. But if you look at life from this angle, the same Harvard research says that you decrease your chance of mortality in the next 12 months by 43%. What do you want to do with your life? die quicker or live longer and a bright shining star. These are the facts. These are the realities. These are the white elephants in the room that we don't want to talk about. The fact is we must take responsibility, and God's a big God. You're amazing. And he has a fun graphic to show you that if it's August, by November, you can change. We're already in November. There's a graphic coming here, just for whatever months they are. But as you now start the rhythm of the Spirit, it's hard to get going. It's hard to discipline yourself to renew your mind. But as you step in more and more into this zone, maybe it's a little bit for the month of August, and then it increases for the month. Well, let's say that's November, December, January, February. By February, if you daily practice this process of living a lifestyle of worship, look how your capacity to increase, to access the goodness of God, your miracles, what you need for life, increases. Just a fun graphic. Do you get the point? You determine this. You determine where you sit on that graph. Maybe that graphic is going to go the other way. If you live here, I guarantee it will go the other way. There will be no miracles. There will just be a mess. So you either live in a mess or you live in miracles. And you can constantly grow those wonderful things. Okay, so here's an image of the brain. Let's talk for a moment about what prayer does. When we pray intentionally, when we intentionally choose to step into the zone and to get that rhythm of the Spirit going, reading the Word of God, memorizing that Word of God, celebrating, worshiping, talking to the Spirit, praying, whatever those, all those elements, as we do that, as we intentionally choose to do that, the front lobe of our brain, the frontal part of our brain, if you have a look back at the image, the frontal lobe of our brain, let's go to the image first. Okay, where the brown part and the blue part and part of the green part fires up. That part is very awake. It's very active when you're awake, when you're conscious, and when you intentionally are thinking, choosing, and feeling. We see massive activity there. Now, when you are in a state of prayerfully bringing thoughts into captivity, like I've been describing over the weekend, we see massive intelligent activity, lots of gamma activity, lots of firing up, lots of health, lots of healthy environment happening inside of your brain when you do that. So basically, if you look at the next little, let me just go to the next thing there. Basically, your entire brain function will improve when you pray intentionally. It increases gamma activity. The deeper we focus, the more that we get a sense of out-of-body kind of experience. So the more you get into this connection with God, the more you intentionally talk and study. And, you know, I do a lot of my Bible study around brain science, which may sound wavy and weird again, okay, but that's where I see God. It's where my passion lies. So I do brain science alongside my Bible studies, and sometimes I get so caught up, I feel like I'm not even in this world. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay, now that experience we see physically in the brain, let's look back at the image of the brain again. We see activity increasing in the brown, blue, and green, but we see a decrease in activity in, if you see there's red and green at the back there, you'll see there's a little dotted area called the parietal lobe. It's more less over here on both sides of your head. It does a whole bunch of stuff, the parietal lobe, but it gives you a sense of being positioned in space, being anchored in the here and the now. Okay, so when you are immersed in God, that decreases. You kind of go out of the here and now, and you go into this incredible entanglement with God. Okay, so, and that's a wonderful thing. Now, they did an interesting study where they took nuns that were praying the word, that were intentionally praying the word, and they checked out what was going on in the brains, and they compared them to Buddhist monks that were also intentionally, but they weren't praying to God or reading the Bible. What they do is they focus on an object, and they basically become one with the object. Now, if you stare at something long enough, because of the way your brain works, you can literally get an out-of-body experience and feel like you're the flower or the whatever. Now, what purpose that serves, I have absolutely no idea. Because it only benefits maybe the flower that you become or whatever it may be. And it takes 30 years for you to become an expert Buddhist monk to get to that point. So for 30 years, they study to become absorbed as an object. I mean, for what point, I don't know. This shows the selfishness of man. Whereas those nuns, within a few seconds, had higher activity in their brain. And these guys, granted, they were getting gamma and all this kind of stuff going on, frontal lobe, blah, blah, parietal lobe reduction of activity. But they were practicing for 30 years. They were these expert meditating monks. That's why they're always used in these kind of studies. When they compared them to these little cute nuns that were praying the word within seconds, their brains had reached higher levels than the 30-year expert monks. Why? Because they connected to life. They connected to the source. They're becoming a radio that is activating from the throne of grace. And they're going to speak that word in season. what you're going to speak from the flower, I'm not quite sure. But what we're going to speak from the throne of grace is going to be a word in season. So then we have a look at what happens when we speak in tongues, which is called glossolalia, which, by the way, is not even... It still happens in some hospitals and in the psychiatric wards. If people are praying, reading their Bible or speaking in tongues, it will go on their file that they're psychotic, that they're delusional, that they need meds, that there's something wrong with them. It wasn't long ago that they used to talk about glossolalia being a psychotic experience until they did some research. And the camp started splitting and they started saying, hey, there's actually stuff going on here. There's something different in the brain. If you look at in the brain of these people that are having a very, very real experience, things are changing in the brain, and very interesting things started happening. Okay, so when we pray intentionally, when we do what the nuns were doing, when we pray the word, etc., we're intentionally focusing and connecting with God, okay? When you pray in tongues, we have that increased activity in the front part of the brain, okay? When you pray in tongues, we can have a look at this, at the image, okay, there we go. So when we pray in tongues, however, the opposite happened. So when you're praying intentionally, there's an increase of activity because you're very involved in the decision-making. So this is excellent. But when you pray in tongues, which is another way of praying, that decreases. So you aren't on the throne. God is. See, so you are backing off and God is taking over, which is very interesting. Now, the parietal lobe, which gives you that sense of being in space and sort of connected with reality, decreases when you get totally absorbed in God intentionally. It actually stays the same when you're praying in tongues because you're not getting that out-of-body kind of weird, almost weird experience. Not weird, but where you get so absorbed in God. So your parietal lobe activity stays the same. Now, your linguistic area is the green area, and it strips your linguistic area goes from ear to ear. So you'll see in traditional textbooks it's completely incorrect. They're updating the textbooks finally, but they used to think that language was in two little spots just above where I'm pointing now, above our ear. Now we understand for years, actually, that the linguistic area of the brain goes from across the whole head. So it's not just in one part of the brain. It's not just the left brain function, okay? Your left and right brain are involved in everything, just in different ways. Left works from detail to big picture, right from big picture to detail in everything. So you're not having logic and math and stuff in the left and creativity in the right. It's a lot of nonsense, not science, never proved, just nonsense, okay? The truth is that both sides are involved in everything, just differently, okay? So it's all about this harmony thing. So what you would expect if you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking words. So you would think that speaking in words is going to increase linguistic activity, but it decreased because it's an unknown tongue. So your brain's not designed to recognize it. It's a godly, spiritual tongue. So there was less activity in the linguistic area. They thought there would be more activity. So here we have a decrease in frontal lobe function. We have this increase, this decrease in the linguistic area of the brain. And then also the amygdala is a structure deep down inside your brain, more or less where I'm pointing my fingers, directly back, two little almond-shaped structures that deal with these. They're like a library, like a watchdog. They like prepare you and make you alert, able to... They're involved. No structure in the brain works alone, okay? That's a complete misunderstanding of brain function. But different parts of the brain have like a sort of main function, and they work in connection with circuits that pass through the different parts of the brain. So there's different structures, and then they connect with other structures. So their power lies in their connection to other areas. What they have found is that when your amygdala is connected to the front part of your brain and all the other parts, the circuits running through your brain, it seems to be like a watchdog. It seems to create this awareness of like danger and good things, bad things, wisdom, discernment. That's the easiest way to understand the amygdala. When the amygdala is working properly, discernment of situations increases. And discernment's very good. We're told in the Bible to get wisdom, get understanding, get discernment. So when you pray in tongues, guess what? Activity increases in the amygdala, which means, and the circuits that work from the amygdala, which means that as you pray in tongues, your discernment and your wisdom increases. God is taking over and he is planting and increasing your ability to discern. Wonderful. You should be praying in tongues so much. One last thing about this and then we're going to go into the activity to end off. The hypothalamus is another structure that's kind of behind the bridge of my nose, sort of towards the back. The hypothalamus is involved in a lot of, it's part of the endocrine system and it's very linked in with our hormones and balancing the chemicals. It's very linked to being able to read your state, physical state, and also your emotional state. So it responds to your emotions. So what's very interesting is that the hypothalamus becomes more balanced. So the cells of the hypothalamus become more synchronous and more balanced in their functionality, which means your emotions become more balanced and more even when you pray in tongues. So you see a hypothalamus activity increasing. And in fact, what they found is that praying in tongues increases emotional stability by 86%. So, I mean, that's just a few things. So based on that, who's been to Times Square? You're going to see a slide coming out there now. Who's been? Okay, so those of you that haven't, you've seen pictures of Times Square. It's busy. We've been there plenty of times. Standing there the first time, I remember about 7 years ago, we went there the first time, and it was incredible. Just the lights and the activity, and if you've watched like New Year with all that, it's you honestly can feel completely overwhelmed. It's very exciting, but you can almost, it's almost too much. You have to almost go away from it for a moment. Now, I believe life is pretty much like that. Now, we are designed to do busy well. We are designed to be immersed in the middle of Times Square and have all the stimulation and handle it. But that's assuming we lead a lifestyle of worship. When we in synchrony, harmony, when the swing is moving, when we the radio, all the examples that I have given, when we in the rhythm of the Spirit, then Times Square won't be scary. For a few moments, let's look at the next slide. For a few moments, that same Times Square, Hillsong paid for it to be every single possible place was lit up with the name of Jesus. Did you hear about this? It's a couple of years back. They paid for about 5 minutes or so where every single thing said Jesus. So the same Times Square. Let's just flick back to the previous one. Okay, so let's flick back to the previous one. Okay, there's Times Square. Every single one of those lights lit up with the name of Jesus for a few moments. Okay, let's just look at the Jesus one. So when you're doing life in the worship zone, which is the constant dialogue with God, all the stuff, it's the same Times Square. It's the same issues of life, but we are reacting through the eyes of Jesus. Jesus is all over everything. Or we in that zone where Jesus is absent from everything. This is a choice that we make with our love, power, and our sound mind. Could you please stand up for me? Okay, we now get to the worship team. Okay, they're up here already. So the worship team is just going to play quietly in the background. I'm actually going to ask pastors, if you can both come up and help Mac and I with this exercise. Okay. So you can just literally follow what I'm going to do with Mac. Okay, so you've got two of us to watch. You've got them and you've got us to watch. Okay, so what we're going to do first of all is we're going to make a little cup with our hands. Okay? And what we're going to do is I'm going to give you 10 seconds. First I'll explain, then you'll do it. And in that 10 seconds, you're going to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you unto all truth. The Holy Spirit, not your friend, pastor, neighbor, cousin, etc. It's the Holy Spirit who shows you what you need to work on. So what we're going to start doing now is we're going to do a thanksgiving, praise, and worship exercise to kickstart us into bringing those thoughts into captivity to Christ Jesus. It is the first day. It takes 63 days to completely eliminate those toxic thoughts and build a healthy new thought. 21 of those 63 days goes into breaking down the toxic issue and building a healthy replacement issue, a healthy replacement thought, the green beautiful thought that you see on this side of the stage. Once you've built the healthy new replacement thought, you need to practice using it every single day for a minimum of 7 minutes for another 2 cycles of 21 days. It takes 63 days, in other words, to build a habit. So 21 days to break down the toxic issue and build up the healthy replacement issue, and then another 2 cycles of 21 days to consciously practice using the healthy new issue. That's my whole 21-day detox online, and there's in a book, and I've got an online which you can do on your phone and all over the place to teach you that. 7 minutes a day, 5 steps. What we're going to do now is the kickstart activity into that. So first we have to be aware of the issue. Because when you become aware of something, when it moves from the non-conscious to the conscious mind, it becomes weakened. When it's in the non-conscious mind, you're not aware of it, but it's doing its damage. As the Holy Spirit reveals something to you and it comes into the conscious mind, that toxic issue is now weakened, whether it's a trauma or a voluntary sin. The Holy Spirit knows what you need to work on for the next 63 days, the next 21 times 3. When this 63 days is over, the Holy Spirit will show you the next thing and the next thing. 365 divided by 70, by 21 will give you 17. You can work with 17 toxic issues in a year, which means in 10 years you could have fixed up 170 issues. which means in 20 years, whatever. In other words, renewing of the mind is a continual process, and this is what I'm telling you that we need to be doing. To stay in a lifestyle of worship, part of that is awareness of what is blocking us staying in a lifestyle of worship. These things block us from staying in this perfectly you zone. So let's start the process now. So you're going to look at Mac, look at how he's cupping the toxic tree in his hands. And I want you to close your eyes now, and I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you, and this is done silently, no talking, just the music playing quietly in the background. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you which one toxic issue. He knows what you need to work on. Don't tell him. Find that. Let him show you what is blocking you. It may surprise you because it may not be what you expect it to be. One issue, starting now, 10 seconds, silently in your head, ask the Holy Spirit and visualize it in your hands. Keeping your eyes closed, the Bible says that when we acknowledge something and we confess it as a sin, He is righteous and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, the Holy Spirit's made you aware of this toxic issue. Maybe a trauma, a bitterness, an unforgiveness, a whatever. Now, with acknowledgement comes confession. So now for 10 seconds, you're going to confess, receive your forgiveness, and be cleansed of this issue. 10 seconds now, confess that sin and receive your forgiveness. Now I want you to imagine that you are walking, that you are entering into the throne room of grace. This incredible God is sitting on the throne. He's huge. This light of love is just shining. Let's get down onto our knees, because I don't believe we will be even standing in His presence. Let's just all kneel down. As soon as you're kneeling down, just quickly look up at what Mac is doing. I want you to lean forward, and I want you to cast that care. You've been forgiven, so don't hang on to it now. Cast that care. Put it down at the throne of grace. Cast all your cares upon Him. You've been forgiven. You've been cleansed. So put it down. And now just lean back and put your hands on your thighs. Do not pick that issue up again. And for 10 seconds now, silently in your head, I want you to thank Him. Remember, when you thank Him, you are preparing your brain for change. All those factors, those BDNF and gamma rays and new nerve cells are being prepared. The preparation for new growth is happening as you thank God. And as you thank God, He listens. So for 10 seconds now, I want you to say 5 sentences silently in your head. This is between you and the Holy Spirit, no one else. And as you thank Him, you're going to say, Lord, I thank You that I can bring this before You. Lord, I thank You that You love me despite this. I don't know what Your words are. I don't want to put words in Your mouth. You're going to say 5 sentences beginning with, Lord, I thank You, dot, dot, dot. You fill in the dots. Be as specific as you can. Now, you're going to do this for the next 21 days, and every day God will reveal another layer. Don't try and solve it all today. That's a mistake that a lot of patients make, that a lot of people make. You can't fix it all now. It's a little bit at a time, 7 minutes a day, 7 to 10 minutes a day. So right now, you're just starting the process today. So He's going to reveal something to you. So as you thank Him, be as specific as you can. Stay focused on that same topic. Do not pick that toxic tree back up. Okay, 10 seconds, 5 sentences beginning with, Lord, I thank You. Let's all stand up. Reach across the room. On the left and the right, hold hands across the room. Everyone on the left and the right. No one must be not holding hands on the left and the right. So reach across, lean back. Over here, just join hands. This gentleman, then lean back. Find someone to join. Even if you join with across the aisle, that's a join across the aisles. No one on everyone, left and right. If you're at the end of the row, lean back like this and hold the hand. I want you to hold hands on the left and the right. Everyone, okay, once you're holding hands on the left and the right, close your eyes. When you thank God, He listens. When you thank God, He listens. Your brain has been prepared now. All kinds of growth factors are happening in your brain. Your brain is fertile ground. But now we're going to step deeper into praise. And as we praise Him, we'll feel His physical presence and gamma waves start flying through your brain and you start moving into this incredibly high level of intelligence. So I want you to squeeze those hands on the left and the right. Squeeze them. And I want you to imagine that that is Jesus. He is standing in front of you, like the woman with the issue of blood. He is standing in front of you right now, and He is holding both of your hands, and He is staring in your eyes with all the love of God that He is pouring all over you because He is inhabiting your praises. He is standing in front of you, holding your hands. Squeeze those hands. And now you're going to take 10 seconds, and you're going to say, Lord, I praise You. Quietly, silently in your head. 5 sentences beginning with, Lord, I praise You, dot, dot, dot. You fill in the dots. And what are you praising Him about? That issue that you receive forgiveness for. That issue that you thanked Him for. Don't take it back. Don't swap issues. Stay focused. Be disciplined in your thought life. Whatever that issue is that God wants you to work on, you are thanking Him that He's going to help you through. You are praising Him that He's by your side. Be as specific as you can. Let the Holy Spirit reveal the words to you. 5 sentences, 10 seconds, beginning with, Lord, I praise You. Not thank, not worship. Lord, I praise You. Dot, dot, dot. 10 seconds, beginning now. When you thanked Him, He listened. You were focusing on your stuff. When you praised Him, you felt His physical presence. Squeeze those hands again. As you praised Him, you felt His physical presence. Your brain is changing. It's growing. It's intelligent. You are so different now to what you were when you came in this room. Now what I want you to do is drop your hands and I want you to raise them to the sky. We've gone from Thanksgiving, where you focused on your stuff, into praise, where you felt His physical presence. And now we're going to step deeply into worship. When the Holy Spirit revealed your sin or your issue and you placed it at the throne of grace and you received, you acknowledged and you asked for forgiveness and you received your forgiveness, you were focusing on your stuff. As you thanked Him, you were focusing on your stuff. As you praised Him, you were focusing on your stuff. You've had a lot of chances to focus on your stuff. It's at the throne of grace. You've been forgiven. He's listening. He's by your side. He's changed your brain. You are now ready for a miracle. So now you're going to step into praise. I want you to step out of where you're standing. Step to the side. Step forward. Don't stay in the same place, even if it's 5 millimeters. Move in a different position. Raise your hands higher than you've ever raised them before. Reach up to God, because what we're going to do now is we are going to worship like we have never worshiped before. We are going to worship 100%. Every molecule, every wave, every subatomic particle, every cell, every tissue, every part of our physical, every part of our soul, every part of our spirit man, every part of you, spirit, soul, and body, is going to be consumed with worship for your King. You are not going to think about your stuff. You did that in your acknowledgement, your confession, your thanking, and your praising. What you are going to do now is you are going to worship Him. You are going to focus 100% on Him. Nothing about you, all about Him. Completely submit yourself into Christ. Completely worship the King of Kings. And as you worship Him, He will act on your behalf. And as you worship Him, you will be accessing your miracle. He will be acting on your behalf. You are activating your miracle. Grab up. Reach your miracle. Reach for your miracle and worship our King. Let's worship our King. Let's worship like we have never worshipped before.
Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We are so grateful. And Lord, we've said it repeatedly throughout the weekend, but what we take away with us this weekend is how much you've given us to succeed in life and with our godliness, and that we can have as much of you as we want. You are not limiting how much of you you're going to give us. But we can access. You're the one that says that you're knocking on our door. We're not knocking on yours. You're knocking on ours. Just waiting for us to open the door and let you come in. And so we just are again in awe of your eagerness to know us, to help us, to love us, to make us successful in our lives. When you made us, even when we fell as a race of people, you didn't abandon us. You made a commitment to us that is forever. And you've even helped us, you even put things inside of us that would remain even after the fall, that would help us find you and know you. And so God, again, we just are so grateful for the love that you have for us, and we respond. And God, right now, whatever we've left at your throne, whatever that is in anyone's life, I pray that it's a real moment for us today, and that tomorrow and Wednesday, when those things try to attack or come back, that we by faith remember that we left that thing at your feet and we refuse to take it up again. A week from now, when it tries to come back and be a part of our life and influence who we are, that we say, no, we left it at the throne, and that we stay in our place of worship and thanksgiving. Lord, we love you and we appreciate you. I bless this church. I bless the growth that you have them in right now. I pray, God, it's that momentum just continues in their life. They see such transformation in themselves over the next few weeks and months. God, we are so thankful. We are grateful. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can give God praise. Go ahead and give him a celebration. I'm going to ask my altar teams to come to the front. While you're leaving, you're welcome to come up and get extra prayer at the altars. We have some great altar workers that'll be here. I want to remind you that Dr. Leaf has a resource table in the lobby. All of her books and DVDs and online resources are there. I encourage you to get as much as you can and just continue to renew your mind. Make the effort and God will meet you there. God bless you. Thank you so much as you go.